Okay, I would ask my colleagues to please take their seats. And they all are already, so that's good. At this time, I'd like to ask Councilor Albright, who will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you, everyone. This is a regularly scheduled meeting of the Newton City Council for Tuesday, April 18th. We're meeting on Tuesday due to the Patriots Day holiday yesterday. I'd like to please get a round of applause for all of our public safety departments and our public works department who kept our streets safe and clear yesterday. Thank you all for your hard work and everyone that was involved. Parks and Rec, I know our EOC was in action yesterday. Really appreciate everyone's help. With a lot of people going through Newton yesterday, very well appreciated. So thank you very much. On your desks this evening, folks, there is the material for the new filing of the Washington Place Special Permit. I wanted to let everyone know that this meeting is being both audio and video recorded. There is a revised docket in your docket books this evening, which includes the public hearing dates, which were missing from the docket that was sent out on Friday. As everyone, I think, is aware, the mayor will be joining us right after our first call of reports for his fiscal year 18 budget address, and we will also be offering a testimonial commendation for Rodney Barker. Okay? With that, I will start with our first call of reports, and I'll start with the Land Use Committee, and I'll recognize the chair, Councilor Laredo.
Thank you, Mr. President. The report begins on page 383. The first item, 160-17, was held. That's also 161-17 was held as well. We are continuing that on both items on May 23rd. We then continue to page, let me get to that. Sorry, forgive me. Oh. We get to page 392. Item 20-17, special permit to extend a non-conforming use at FAR at 85 Fuller Terrace. The Land Use Committee approved withdrawal with prejudice, 5-0. The next item, 62-17, a special permit to extend non-conforming use at 489-491 Commonwealth Avenue, Ronald Gold. This is in Ward 7. The public hearing was closed, and we approved that 6-0. 19-17 was postponed to May 9, 2017. 431-16, Mr. President, was on a subject to second call, but I'm going to ask, I'd like to poll the committee to see if we can hold this for May 1st. May I do so, Mr. President?
Yeah, Chair is requesting a suspension of the rules to poll the committee to actually hold the item in committee. All those in favor of suspension of the rules will say
President,
aye.
If we hold it in committee, will it get reported out and then on May 1st?
Or if you're going to change the vote to hold in committee, it depends when the committee is going to take it up again.
I'd rather postpone it to a date certain of May 1st in
the May 1st council meeting.
Council meeting, Mr. President.
Okay.
But it was subject to second call, so I'd like to see if we can put on first call by polling the committee and then motion to postpone.
Okay. Is that all right, Mr. Clerk? Yeah, okay. So motion has been made to suspend the rules. All those in favor will say aye. Opposed, the ayes have it. Please go ahead.
I'd like to postpone this item to a date certain of May 1st. The reason for that is the board order is not quite ready. We had a Land Use Committee meeting Thursday night. Because of the ensuing holiday. Also, the plans are not yet received from the petitioner, so I'd ask it be postponed to May 1st. Colleagues on land use, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in favor, none opposed. Thank you, Mr. President. The next item, 63-17, was held, as was the next item, 256-16. Both were held 7-0. That concludes the report, Mr. President, but of course it's land use, so I have a number of public hearings.
Please go ahead.
If I could direct my colleagues' attention to page 394, 95-17, a change of zone petition for Washington Street. This is a Mark Newtonville LLC petition. Along with 96-17, a special permit request for Washington Street. Our public hearing is assigned for May 2nd. I also note that we all, at least on the Land Use Committee, received a packet today with the new filings. Next, turning to page 396, 2-15, parens 3, close parens, request for an extension of time for a special permit at 300 Boylston Street. This is the Atrium Wellness Center, Ward 7. That also will be held on May 2nd. The following items are all going to be held on May 9, 97-17, a special permit to extend a non-conforming use at 966 Watertown Street. This is BR Stone Corp, Stephanie Oliveira Diaz. This is in Ward 3, then 98-17. Special permit to extend a non-conforming front setback is 37 Troy Lane, Donald Fabrizio, in Ward 5. 99-17, special permit extended non-conforming use in FAR at 49-51 Clinton Road, Ralph Cole. This is in Ward 2. 100-17, special permit for a three-family at 62 Walnut Park, Thomas Joseph Hines III. This is in Ward 1. And then finally on page 397, 101-17, a special permit to extend a non-conforming use at 46 Farwell Street, Brian McDonald's Continuous Improvement Realty Trust, and this is in Ward 3. Again, those are all May 9, and that concludes the report and the assignment of hearings, Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Next, they have the Zoning and Planning Committee. The report will be given by Vice Chair Councilor Danberg.
Thank you, Mr. President. Beginning on page 384, item number 6617, Mayor's appointment of Martin Smargiassi to Auburndale Historic District Committee. Zoning and planning approved, 7-0. Item on page 385, item number 69-17, Brett Caitlin, 121 Suffolk Road, Chestnut Hill, appointed as a member of the Chestnut Hill Historic District Commission for a term to expire May 31, 2020. Zoning and Planning Committee approved 7-0. The other items were held, and item number 104-15.
Yeah, the other committees haven't met on that. Well, Land Use still hasn't met on that item.
Fine. Okay, and I will request a suspension of the rules to
just want to assign
a public hearing.
You can just
page,
assign them, Madam
Chair.
Here
we go. On page 398, item number 104-17, Newton Historical Commission submitting a recommendation pursuant to MGL Chapter 40C, Section 3, Article 3, Historical Provisions and Division 1 Commissions and Districts of the City of Newton Ordinances be amended by establishing a local historic district in Newton Highlands. That public hearing is to be assigned for May 8, 2017. And that concludes the report and the assignment of public hearings.
Thank you, Madam Vice Chair. Next, I have the Programs and Services Committee, chaired by Councilor Rice.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Programs and Services Report begins on page 386. Docket item 31-15, parens 5. Philip Jepson et al. Submitting a petition pursuant to Article 10, Section 2 of the City of Newton Charter to amend Section 20-13. Noise control of the City of Newton ordinances as it relates to dates and hours of operation of leaf blowers and the type of leaf blowers allowed. The hearing was closed and Programs and Services voted no action necessary, 7-0. And that concludes the report, Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Next, I have the Public Safety and Transportation Committee. The report will be given by Vice Chair Councilor Blazer.
Thank you, Mr. President. The report begins on page 386. First item is 41-17. Councilor Yates requesting that the Mass Department of Conservation and Recreation reduce the speed limit on all sections of Quinnipiquin Road to 25 miles per hour in conformity with the speed limit in the city. That was approved 5-0. The next item, 7117, was held. And the final item is number 25-17, Councilor Yates, Councilors Yates, Rice, and Crosley, requesting that the MBTA repair the pedestrian bridge from the south side of Route 9 to the Elliott MBTA station, and that was approved. That was no action necessary by a vote of 5-0.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. Next, I have the Public Facilities Committee, chaired by Councilor Crosley.
Thank you, Mr. President. The report begins on page 386. The first seven items are petitions for grants of location by Eversource Energy. They're all in Ward 8 in the Oak Hill Park area. There's a network of paths there. They were all approved 4-0, so I'm just going to read in the locations.
Can you read the docket item numbers,
yes,
too, please?
Yes, I
Thank
will.
You.
4917 is for a grant at Calden Path. 5017 is for a grant at O'Rourke Path, Hanson Road, and Callahan Path. 5117 is for a grant at Timpson Path, Sawmillbrook Parkway. 52-17 is for Spears Road and Chute Path. 73-17 is for Osborne Path, Van Rusen Road. 7417 is for Chenayan Path. Again, these were all approved 4-0. Next, we have item 36-17. This is Councillor Crossley, Albright, and Lappin requesting an ordinance pursuing to Mass General Laws, Chapter 166, Section 22, and Chapter 44, Section 53G, otherwise known as the Municipal Modernization Act, the adoption of which would enable the City Council to require peer review of grant of location petitions, including proposed wireless communications equipment attachments to poles or structures in the public way and on public lands, at the petitioner's expense, to assist the Council in deciding requested grants of location. On the next page, 388, is item number 255-14, parens 5. This is a request from the mayor to transfer funds within the service school project budget from the, by transferring a total amount of $232,931 from the owner's contingency to furniture, fixtures, and equipment, $179,356, to computer equipment, $35,305, and to the moving line item, $18,270. This was approved 4-0. Next is item 9217. His Honor the Mayor requesting authorization to transfer the sum of $130,000 from the DPW full-time salaries account to the DPW transportation electrical equipment repairs and maintenance account to fund costs associated with the repair of traffic signals throughout the city due to knockdowns and general maintenance. This was approved 4-0. Next is 93-17. An appropriation, His Honor the Mayor requesting authorization to appropriate and expend the following amounts for purpose of funding the city's accelerated roads program. The total is $4 million,582,904. From the parking meter receipts accounts, we have $982,904, and from free cash, $3,600,000. This was approved 4-0. Item number 94-17, His Honor the Mayor requesting authorization to appropriate the sum of $1,400,000 from bonded indebtedness for the purpose of funding the Dedham and Dehanton Streets intersection and the Dedham, Brookline, and Carlson Streets intersection realignments and traffic signalization upgrades. This was approved 4-0. And finally, on page 389, item number 46-15 was voted no action necessary. This was Alderman Johnson and Ciccone requesting a discussion of parking options for school and municipal parking lots. And this was voted NAN 4-0. Then I have some public hearings to assign.
Please go ahead. Please. Thank you, Madam Chair.
You're welcome. So on page 398 of the docket, we have a public hearing to be assigned for April 27th, 2017. That's a Thursday night when we'll also be hearing the DPW budget. Three items. Item number 105-17 is Light Tower Fiber Networks, petition for a grant of location to install conduit on Beacon Street. And item number 106-17, also for April 27th, is a National Grid petition for a grant of location on Old Farm Road to bring a new gas main near 63 Old Farm Road, from 63 Old Farm Road to 41 Old Farm Road for new services to houses number 33 and 41. This is in Ward 8. A previous one was Ward 5. And finally, item number 107-17, this is a National Grid petitioning for grants of location to install and maintain a gas main in a number of locations all on Adams Street. So it's pretty much the entirety of Adams Street. And this is also for April 27th, 2017. And that concludes the report.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Next, I have the Finance Committee chaired by Councilor Gentile.
Thank you, Mr. President. The finance report begins on page 389. 255-14, parens 5, is under the mayor requesting an amendment to the Zervas Elementary School project, but transferring $232,931 from the owner's contingency to three different line items, furniture, fixtures, equipment, computer equipment, and the moving line item, approved 8-0. 86-17 is under the mayor requesting authorization to accept and expend a grant in the amount of $3,000 from the Association of Food and Drug Officials to allow for attendance at a conference for training. This was approved by a vote of 8-0. 87-17 is on the mayor requesting authorization to accept and expend a grant from the National Association of County and City Health Officials in the amount of $13,000. This was approved 8-0. Top of 390, 77-17 is on the mayor requesting amendments to the City of Newton revised ordinances in 2012 to include new sections related to the illicit discharged storm drains. This item was approved by a vote of 8-0. 78-17 is on the mayor requesting authorization to appropriate and expend $71,800 from the stormwater surplus account for the purpose of funding professional engineering services for the design and construction phases of the rehabilitation of the flowed metal pump station, approved 8-0. 88-17 is honor the mayor requesting authorization to transfer the sum of $25,000 from the Department of Public Works full-time salaries transportation account for the purpose of purchasing bicycle racks to be located throughout the city, approved 8-0. 92-17, His Honor the Mayor requesting authorization to transfer the sum of $130,000 from the Department of Public Works full-time salaries account to the Department of Public Works transportation, electrical equipment repairs and maintenance account to fund costs associated with the repair of traffic signals throughout the city, approved 8-0. 94-17 is honor the mayor requesting authorization to appropriate the sum of $1,400,000 from bonded indebtedness for the purpose of funding Dedham and Manhattan Street intersection in the Dedham Brookline and Carlson Street intersection realignments and traffic signalization upgrades, approved 8-0. 93-17 is honor the mayor requesting authorization to appropriate and expend the following amounts for the purpose of funding the city's accelerated roads program, parking meter receipts, $982,904, and free cash, $3,600,000, approved 8-0. 104-15 was held. And at this time, I would ask for a suspension of the rules to accept two late filed items.
Chair is requesting a suspension of the rules to accept two late filed docket items. All those in favor of suspension of rules will say aye. Opposed, the ayes have it. Please go ahead, Mr. Chair.
On page 399, the first one is 109-17. His Honor the Mayor requesting authorization to appropriate and expend $600,000 from overlay surplus to fund revaluation and litigation costs. And the second item is 110-17. His Honor the Mayor requesting authorization to appropriate $2 million from free cash to the Rainy Day Stabilization Fund, and I would move the report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I also believe you have to assign public hearings for May 1st.
Yes. On page 400, 359-16, the submittal of the FY 2018 to 2021 Capital Improvement Plan, public hearing to be assigned for May 1st, 2017. And then 359-16, parens 4, the 2018-2022 Supplemental Capital Improvement Plan, public hearing for May 1st, 2017. And then 359-16, parens 3, the proposed water, sewer, and stormwater rates, a public hearing to be assigned for May the 1st, 2017.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Before I recognize Councilor Danberg and the other councilors to do our commendation, I did just want to have Councilor Rice report out item 46-15, which was taken up previously by your committee, and then I'll recognize Vice Chair Blazer.
Yes, docket item 46-15, Alderman Johnson and Ciccone requesting discussion with the Commissioner of the Department of Public Works and School Department to determine and discuss parking options, including use of school properties based upon the current municipal parking lot programs, including the issuance of permits and programs and services voted no action necessary, 5-0 on that item.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Now I'll recognize the Vice Chair of Public Safety, Councilor Blazer.
Thank you, Mr. President. The same item was taken up by the Public Safety and Transportation Committee, and the vote was 5-0, no action necessary.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Okay, is there any other business before the council this evening on first call? At this time, I'm going to recognize Councilor Danberg, Councilor Baker. I don't know who else is on the item. Sorry, Councilor, if you want to bring, if you had co-sponsored the item, come on, Councilor Rice, come on up, and we'll read this into the record. I don't see Mr. Burke here, so I'll have you read it into the record, and we'll make it part of the first call report.
Good evening. This is a testimonial resolution honoring Rodney M. Barker. Rodney is unable to be here this evening, but Rodney, we know that you and Betsy are watching on TV. So in recognition of Rodney's service to the city of Newton, whereas Rodney M. Barker has been a longtime resident of Ward 6 in Newton and has held a number of public offices in Newton, having been elected by the voters of the city to serve on the school committee, the Board of Aldermen, and the Newton Highlands Neighborhood Area Council, and
whereas Rodney Barker has been an advocate of Newton Highlands, and in 1973 was instrumental in advocating for and forming the Newton Highlands Neighborhood Area Council, Newton's first area council, and now has come full circle as he serves on the Newton Highlands Area Council today. He was also instrumental in revitalizing Newton Highlands business area in the creation of the pedestrian plaza at the corner of Lincoln and Hartford Street, which is in 2012 was named Rodney Barker Square in his honor. And
whereas Rodney M. Barker has served in a variety of Newton's public and private boards and commissions, including the Newton Historical Commission, the Newton Conservators, the Newton San Juan del Sur Nicaragua Sister City Project, and the Hyde School PTO, to name just a few, and
whereas Rodney M. Barker and his wife Elizabeth have been residents of Newton Highlands for almost 50 years.
Now therefore be it known that the members of the Newton City Council, representing all of the citizens of the city of Newton, recognize the significant contributions made by Rodney M. Barker to the Newton Highlands neighborhood in his outstanding service and leadership in public office to the city of Newton, and wish Rodney and his wife, Elizabeth, good health and happiness for years to come.
Can you
This resolution offered the 29th day of April 2017 by Councilors Victoria Danberg, Gregory Schwartz, Richard Blazer, John Rice, Ruth Ann Fuller, R. Lyle Baker, Scott Lennon, Cheryl Lappin, on behalf of the entire council. Thank you.
Also in Newton Highlands Saturday, April 29th at 5 o'clock at the Newton Highlands Congregational Church on Lincoln Street, the Newton Highlands community and the city of Newton is going to be having an event to honor Rodney at 5 o'clock. So that's Saturday, April 29th at 5 o'clock. Everyone is welcome.
Thank you. Okay, thank you very much, everyone. I'll wait till folks make their way back, and then I am going to ask the clerk to call the roll on our first call of reports, our referral docket, and the commendation, which will be part of our first call.
Councilor Albright.
Aye.
Councilor Auchincloss.
Aye.
Councilor Baker.
Aye.
Councilor Blazer.
Aye.
Councilor Broussel Glazer.
Aye.
Councilor Ciccone. Councilor Cody. Councillor Crossley.
Aye.
Councillor Danberg.
Aye.
Councillor Fuller.
Aye.
Councillor Gentile.
Aye.
Councillor Harney.
Aye.
Councillor Hesmahan. Councillor Kalis. Councillor Lappin.
Aye.
Councillor Laredo.
Aye.
Councillor Leary.
Aye.
Councillor Lipoff. Councillor Norton.
Aye.
Councillor Rice.
Aye.
Councillor Sangiolo.
Aye.
Councillor Schwartz. Councillor Yates.
Aye.
President Lennon.
Aye.
The vote is 19 yeas with 5 absent.
Okay, all items on first call carry and our docket has been referred. At this time, I would look to a motion to suspend the rules to forego recess for the purposes of having the fiscal year 18 budget address. Motions were made and seconded. All those in favor of suspension of the rules will say aye. As the ayes have it, I am going to ask an escort committee to be established of the Vice President Lappin, President Emeritus Baker, Councilors Norton, and Councilors Cody to please escort the mayor from his office to the chamber to deliver his budget address. I had to ask Councilor Cody because he got a new hairdo. So I wanted everyone to see it as he was making his way around the chamber. So I've attempted this at the last couple. In honor of Sal, I'm not going to try to do a joke. We'll just think good thoughts about him. How's that? And we'll all get a chuckle. So that's. I'd like to welcome all the department heads that are here this evening. Mayor left a checklist for everybody that's here to make sure we're all in attendance. Asked me to deliver it when he was finished. So, that is a question better posed to the executive office. I would probably venture to say no. I didn't see anything out there, so I could be surprised too, Counselor. I'm not sure. I came in a little early, so they could have set it up after I came in the chamber. I think I see our escort committee. If I could ask everybody to please rise. At this time, I will recognize the Vice President and the Chair of our escort committee.
Mr. President, this is my last one, Mr. President. This will be my longest address, if that's all right with all of you.
The other way.
Is that the right word? It's great to be here. Before I get started, a couple of things I just want to do. This marathon yesterday went off without any hitches. It was safe. It went extremely well here in the city of Newton. No one ever thanks a few entities after the marathon. I want to thank fire, police, health, and DPW for their work leading up to the marathon. They put a lot of work in this thing. And then the day after McGonigal, it looks like it never happened. So give them a round of applause. It's great. They did a great job. And I will also take the executive liberty of mentioning the fact that my wife finished the marathon yesterday. It was her first one. If you can help me out and give her a round of applause. Thank you. President Lennon, Vice President Lappin, it's been wonderful putting these budgets together, working with you. Thank you for your leadership to the City Council. I particularly on the Council want to thank my dear friend, our Finance Chair, Lenny Gentile. We've had a great, great working relationship over the last 7 years. I cannot tell you the number of meetings and times, you know, we've gotten together. And of course, you know, Councilor Gentile always agrees with everything I say. All the time. We don't agree all the time, but it's been a wonderful partnership. So thank you, Chairman, as well. I want to thank, can our city employees and department heads just give them a round of applause? They're all back there. They've worked incredibly hard with our staff and our office to not only put these budgets together, but we have a first-rate team in City Hall. These department heads and staff are incredible people. They do amazing work every day, not reported in the Globe or Tab, but they do amazing work, and in putting this last budget for this administration together, they've worked incredibly hard, and it's 7 years worth of effort as well. To the City Council as a whole, I can't tell you how much I appreciate our partnership in not only putting this budget together, but previous budgets, work that we've done together, to the school committee, and also the one lone area council member that is here. Get mad at me if I don't mention him too. Group Gregory back there, it's great to see you. Thank you for your participation in civic leadership. To the mayor's office, I know Dory Selesnik's back there, and Aaron Goldman's back there, Stephanie Foner are back there, who work with me every single day. I want to just give a very special thanks to my good friend and incredible partner, who's been an incredible leader here in our city. And if it weren't for our partnership, her dedication to this city, her craft as a CFO, Chief of Staff, she takes it very seriously, works day and night. I call her, she calls me over the weekends, at night, all hours of the morning. She's really given her life to this job and the city. I want to thank Maureen Lemieux, who's sitting back there. Amazing. Special lady back there. Thank you, Maureen. As many of you know, and I've said this many a time as we come into this eighth year of my administration, you all know what we walked into several years ago in 2010 with our projected deficit of $40 million. And you also know what was happening with our expenses growing higher than our revenue coming in every single year. You also know, due to economic forces outside of Newton, that our pension trust fund had suffered significant loss during the recession of 2008. We hadn't really started as a city really dealing with this post-employment benefit issue, like a lot of the communities have not sort of deal than we started to as well. We also knew that our AAA bond rating from Moody's, the one we had, was also in jeopardy if we didn't get to work. And as I said earlier this year in a State of the City, we really need to transform how we worked at City Hall, how we looked at governance, how we looked at our finances, and really update how we governed here in a changing environment, politically and economically. As I said, this year's budget really reflects our approach over the last 7 years to governance to look past the budget sheet and the budget books and look at outcomes of the people that we work for every single day, the 80,000 people that I work for, that you work for, citizens of Newton. The principles, I think, that I've embraced, and I know some of the counselors and certainly our staff have embraced, which I outlined a little earlier. I want to outline them again because I think they're incredibly important for not only how we put together this budget, but how the city looks at budgeting in the future. Obviously, we have to put strong fiscal discipline in accounting for every taxpayer dollar so that we're efficient, we're not wasteful. We look at that every day. We've changed our budget book, and you all have them here, to outcomes over the course of my administration for people so that there are outcome-based budgeting and not just budgeting based on departments. And we really work hard to ensure we're making decisions for our residents now as well as decades from now, looking ahead, not just in the short term but long term. We haven't been afraid to make some tough calls on policy or fiscal decisions as we go through our budget-making process. We've had direct conversation with our residents, worked very hard on making sure we're transparent as possible, not just as far as our work online, but also in communication, and being really honest about what the choices are. And third, it is really hard, bringing people together, whether they're counselors or residents, identifying these challenges with us, bring people together, not just divide between the issues or between one another with an eye towards the future. When I think about these three principles, I think about how we do work at City Hall every single day, day-to-day basis. One of the things that we understood clearly is that we needed to infuse performance and results in our decision-making processes. In the city's culture, in the city management culture, departments as well, that's something that we've embraced every single day. And this is where we got the outcome-based budgeting philosophy that we execute. As opposed to the more traditional line item incremental budgeting, where expenditures are increased or decreased by a percentage from prior year levels, we put in place outcome-based budgeting. And we work with our departments, and they've worked really hard over the last few years in adopting this. In other words, not just assuming what you spent last year is what you should spend next year or having some formula, but really looking at what that outcome should be for our department and for our people. And using a zero-based approach, building our budgets from the ground up rather than, as I said, assuming what we spent last year is what we should spend the next year. In 2012, as I said, we identified these eight outcomes, which are in your book. They're online for the people watching at home. And these outcomes encompass the city's mission and the purpose for municipal government, and it's the basis which we've built all of our budgets from that point on. Throughout the year, we meet individually with each department as well as collectively in our data stat meetings every month to review our progress, the progress that we've made toward achieving our current and desired outcomes, as well as success strategies and initiatives that each department should undertake in the fiscal year to continue the improvement of city services. We do this data stat meeting every month with me and the department heads and the staff, and we really monitor how we're doing on the commitments we made over the course of the year during the budget, as well as look at trends that are developing as well. Based on these collaborative discussions Outcomes are defined, required resources are identified, projected expenditures are calculated, strategies are developed, and performance targets are established. Through continuous monitoring of our performance, we're able to recognize any obstacles to achieving our desired outcomes and goals. Once these are identified, both the executive team and the individual departments establish a strategy to overcome those obstacles. It is as a result of this management philosophy that we have been able to align our growth of expenditures with our growth in revenue and eliminate our structural deficit. We're very hard on that. In addition to aligning expenditure growth with revenue, we recognize the importance of establishing a reserve or rainy day fund for the city, which currently contains more than $19 million or 5% of the budget. Worked really hard on building that reserve fund. This is something that Chairman Gentile has been focused on like a laser every year, and I appreciate that. But we've really worked hard to ensure we build up those reserves, and we have to continue to maintain that at 5%, those reserves at 5%. We also understood the need to put a financial plan in place to fund our pension and OPEB funds. We're on track to fulfill our pension liability by 2029. Continue to repeat that benchmark, almost a decade ahead of schedule established before I took office, and our OPEB liability by 2042. It's with this strong foundation. For the first time last year, we sought out a second bond rating that not only received a AAA from Moody's Investor Service, but we also received a AAA from Standard & Poor's. And I'm proud to announce that for the second year in a row, we have received this double AAA rating, a distinction that only a few communities in the state of Massachusetts share. In its report, Standard & Poor's has quoted, and I quote, revised their assessment of the city's management to very strong from strong based on the introduction of a debt policy that formalized historic practice. An assessment of very strong indicates that financial practices are strong, well embedded, and likely sustainable. Citing Newton's, and I quote, strong fiscal management, the Moody's Investor Service also states, the city maintains strong fiscal management and governance through conservative budgeting and proactive long-term financial planning, including a five-year budget forecast and capital plan, as well as formal financial and reserve policies. As a result of the tremendous confidence that the rating agencies have placed in Newton, we've been able to receive very favorable interest rates, not only on bonds that we have sold, but also on those we have refinanced over the past few years, saving the city more than $16 million in interest payments over the remaining life of these refinanced bonds. Newton has one of the highest performing school districts in the state. But when I entered office, we found that our long-term capital needs for schools and our school children are not being addressed. Education has been a priority for all of us, my administration as well, from day one. In order to provide a 21st century education, we have to provide 21st century facilities that match what's happening in the classrooms, teachers, and educators. The commitment has enabled us not only to reduce average class size and narrow the achievement gap in high school, language arts, math, and science, but also to open five new schools in the next 6 years. The Carr School has been fully renovated and is being used as swing space. The Angel School opened on time and under budget in the winter of 2016. The Zerda School is scheduled to open in September, and our renovation and construction on an addition to Cabot will begin this summer and will open in September 2019, at which time the Carr School will become the new home of the Horace Mann Community Center. Our purchase of Aquinas has enabled us to consolidate our growing preschool program into one site where we can provide cutting-edge, critical care, and instruction children need in their pre-K years. It also allows us to move the Lincoln Elliott School to Aquinas and then use Lincoln Elliott as swing space as we continue our long-term forward-looking school building plan over the next 20 years. and our plan doesn't end there. This plan will allow the Horace Mann Building, as I said, our flagship intergenerational community center, with dedicated space for seniors as well as programming for residents of all ages in a location adjacent to the Albemarle Recreation Facilities. None of this work would have been possible without our strong financial management policies and the support of our community, who voted to approve an override in 2013 that allowed for an expedited process. Newton is also known for our unparalleled public safety. After years of allowing fire stations to fall in disrepair and cuts to our fire and police forces, we're dedicated to reinvest in our first responders. And I want to thank the firefighters committee that worked really hard, Sal Salvucci, Lenny Dent, Gentile, Scott Lund, I'm part of that group before I came into office, looking at the long-term needs of getting these stations repaired. I'm very appreciative of that. We opened Fire Station 4 in 2010, Station 7 in 2011, and Station 10 in 2015, giving our firefighters the modern facilities and resources they need. Work is currently in progress on Fire Station 3 and Fire Headquarters in Newton Center, which will have a new Emergency Operations Center, or EOC, which will help keep Newton one of the safest communities in the country. Fire Station 3 and the EOC are scheduled to be completed in June of this year, and headquarters this coming fall. We have also added modern technology and computers in our fire trucks and state-of-the-art heavy-duty rescue truck to our fire department to provide better response times and more effective emergency response. And lastly, we have provided enhanced training so that Newton now has a technical rescue squad, increasing capabilities of our already excellent firefighters. Due to these investments, our fire department and city has the unique honor of being designated a Class 1 department by the Insurance Services Organization, making us one of only four in the Commonwealth and about 200 nationally with this designation out of over 47,500 programs that are evaluated, which reduces commercial property insurance rates for businesses throughout our city. We have also provided upgrades in our police department through improved technology in our patrol cars and the addition of 10 police officers to our force since 2013, reversing a trend of staffing cuts. In addition, I'm proud that we have added a full-time ride-along social worker to address the growing substance abuse and mental health issues in our community. To ensure that our exceptional police force has facilities it needs, we will be funding a feasibility study for our new police headquarters facility and campus. We have the best first responders in the country, and we're proud to give them the support they need to keep us safe every day. For the past 7 years, we have held public forums for residents to give feedback on our budget priorities, and our transportation needs are always at the top of the list. Whether paving roads, providing more accessible options, modes of transportation, or addressing traffic, we have been working hard to ensure our transportation system meets the needs of residents now and in the future. During my State of the City address, I introduced our transportation strategy, Newton in Motion, which highlights 5 areas of transportation over the next 18 months: our roads program, village enhancements, bike share facilities, shared transit, and smart parking management. With the passage of the override in 2013, we have been able to pave 50% more roads in each year than we were able to back in 2010. But repairing and maintaining our city streets was yet another area where we knew we needed to do more. Once again, as a result of our approach, outcome-driven management style, last fall, I announced a comprehensive, holistic, data-driven, accelerated road program that will raise the average condition of all of our streets to good or very good condition within the next 10 years. Where we have up to this point been investing in approximately 8 miles of street surface annually over the past few years, we will now be investing in approximately 40 miles of street surface each year, utilizing state-of-the-art technologies to reconstruct, maintain, and preserve our city streets. Our village enhancements projects will create much-needed streetscape, traffic flow, and safety improvements in West Newton Square, Walnut Street in Newtonville, Washington Street, and Newton Corner. Within the next 18 months, we will be rolling out a program for bike share and shared shuttle service, providing residents, employees, and visitors with more options to get around the city. We are also introducing smart parking options that will provide visitors more ways to pay for parking as they take advantage of our villages, promoting economic growth and increasing convenience for all ages. We will continue to improve traffic flow throughout the city. Our traffic signalization plan targets 17 of the most inefficient, frustrating, and unsafe intersections in the city of Newton. Our goal is to alleviate traffic congestion on our streets by upgrading technology in our traffic signals, our intersections, such as Auburndale Square, which we're still working on, intersections in West Newton, throughout our major thoroughfares. These signal upgrades allow for signalization of signals along a busy road, as well as signal triggering when vehicles approach a signal from a side street. We're already seeing safety improvements at some of what were the most dangerous intersections in the city. At Crafts and Linwood, there have been zero accidents since signals were installed, while in the 5 years before, there have been 11. At Beacon and Grant, one of the most dangerous intersections for cyclists, there have been zero auto bicycle accidents since the signals were updated in August 2015, while before that, there have been 5. Our open spaces, trail networks, and waterways are incredibly important to the quality of life in Newton. And we are implementing infrastructure upgrades to our stormwater treatment system to ensure we protect our natural resources. By encouraging low-impact development techniques, introducing rain gardens and bioretention areas and parking lots along roadways, and investing in our maintenance and stormwater infrastructure today, our open spaces, trail networks, and waterways will be improved for generations to come. We are also being proactive to ensure our system is in compliance with the new federal regulations. Strong fiscal management and zero-basing our budgets also enabled us to find additional savings and efficiencies wherever possible, making our buildings more efficient as far as energy not only saves the city money, but also reduces our carbon footprint as we confront the reality of climate change. Through significant investments over the last 7 years in energy initiatives, including solar, we will save $40 million over the next 20 years. As a result, since I took office, we have cut our municipal carbon footprint in half. Newton is called the Garden City for a reason. We take great pride in maintaining our green and open spaces and our trees. For many years, the city neglected to properly invest in fields, recreational surfaces, and trees. In order to make sure these resources exist for generations to come, we have taken concrete steps to address this issue. We have invested heavily in reconstruction and resurfacing plans to bring the many playing fields and surfaces Newton has to offer to a safe, playable condition so that our residents can engage in healthy exercise and sports. Since taking office, we've reconstructed or improved 31 tennis courts, representing 45% of the tennis courts throughout the city. We have rehabilitated 9 fields since 2010, and in the spring, we will be undertaking 5 more fields. This coming fall, we will celebrate the opening of the renovated Newton Highlands Playground. The new field will have a new drainage system, turf, extra parking, game quality lights, refurbished tennis and basketball courts, new entries along Denham and Winchester Streets, and a new baseball field that will better meet the needs of teams playing in Newton. Newton's public trees give our roads and parks distinct character and beauty. Years of neglect had made some of our public trees serious safety hazards during storms. Between FY12 and FY14, 454 trees fell in Newton, causing hundreds of power outages and blocking our roads, severely compromising our safety. The Halloween storm, many of you remember that, I'm sure, in October of 2012 caused 172 downed trees alone. So we needed to do more. In 2014, we began a program to remove our dangerous trees. Since last spring, we have removed over 1,000 of the oldest, most hazardous trees on our streets. During the record snowfall of FY15, 47 trees fell, and in FY16, 55 trees came down, representing an average reduction of downed trees by almost 74% compared to FY12 and FY13, the years before we began our work. We've also begun a replanting program. Within the past year, we have planted over 300 trees to ensure our streets stay green and beautiful. The Newton Free Library is one of the most cherished assets we have in our community. It's a place that brings people together and represents our values. After undertaking a strategic planning process, identifying a number of ways in which libraries have changed, it was clear there was needed improvements to ensure that the Newton Free Library remains a great resource for generations to come. We concluded that we needed to accommodate more children and young people at the library. Therefore, this summer, we will begin work to enlarge the sections devoted to children and adolescents, which are vital to the future of the library. Several demographic studies of Newton have shown our substantial senior population is projected to grow. We have learned from the Senior Center needs assessment and from our age-friendly cities listening sessions that two important areas to improve senior quality of life are social connectedness and financial sustainability. Our seniors are an asset to our community, and the investments we make in our seniors, senior services in the FY18 budget reflect their needs and priorities. Our senior center programming and transportation services are highly popular, but don't address all of the needs. We have taken steps in this year's budget to do more. We are taking steps to grow the capacity of senior services inside the senior center as well as outside. In keeping with the city's commitment to senior services, the city budget for FY18 will cover the salaries for the director of social services, 2 case managers, and 9 months of the police social worker, in addition to the school social workers who are part of the NPS budget. 1 case manager will work exclusively at the senior center, while the 2nd case manager will cover clients of all ages, including seniors. We have set appropriate metrics for a number of individuals who can and should be seen in a given week, both first visits and follow-ups, and both case managers have time available to approximately double the number of people seen in the past. Outreach to seniors to raise awareness of available services is an important component of reaching those in need. In order to provide more programming for seniors, we have approved a request to hire assistant program coordinator to plan and run programs on some evenings and weekends to coordinate programs at other sites within the city, perhaps closer to home for those who do not wish to go to the senior center. Seniors are vital to the ongoing life of our city, and we are pleased to be able to enhance services and programs while awaiting the opening of the Intergenerational Community Center, including dedicated space for seniors at the Horace Mann School site in the future. One of my administration's top priorities is robust community engagement. The city has been committed to establishing a dialogue between residents, not only to communicate new initiatives, but most importantly, to listen to residents' concerns. In the last year, we have worked hard to improve the experience that residents have with their government. This includes a new smartphone app for our 311 system, renovating our customer service desk in City Hall, and moving the parking clerk to City Hall. We've also conducted robust community engagement around housing and transportation strategies, listening to what matters most to our residents. Last year, I began a partnership with Tufts to conduct a survey of Newton community with the goal of identifying what civic life and community engagement looks like in our city. We believe that the city's existing civic network can continue to grow and promote connectivity and build community around the issues that matter most to people. By using citywide data and technology, we're looking to Newton's four area councils, critical components of our local government, through neighborhood associations and many community organizations to collaborate with us on this effort. We continue to use surveys, our website, social media to provide information, to get feedback from residents, and to ensure concerns are heard and expectations are met. I will end where I started this evening. We know we've worked incredibly hard together. The City Council, School Committee, city and school employees, our business community, our residents, to make transformative change for our city. We've gone from fiscal crisis to financial sustainability in 7 years so that we can deliver the right outcomes for our residents. We got here by being committed to three principles that I outlined earlier. And I should say, even with these three principles, we know there's so much more that can be done, that will be done, that should be done here in our city. Putting in place strong fiscal discipline and accounting for each PAC taxpayer dollar, making sure we're efficient and not being wasteful. Not being afraid to make tough calls, fiscal calls, policy decisions based on outcomes for the people we work for here in our city. We have to continue to be direct and honest about what those choices are and be transparent about those choices. One of the hardest things we've got to do is listen and bring people together, even of differing mindsets, different perspectives. This is the hardest thing in government today that we have to do. But we have to work towards the common good, and that's when we're at our best. If we meet these principles day to day in our city, we will ensure that Newton meets its full potential. It's hard to do this in a city our size. It's hard work. It takes discipline and focus, and you all know that. It also takes humility and a willingness to be flexible and change course if benchmarks aren't met or plan outcomes do not occur. This happens every day in City Hall. If our community does not want to fall back, but rather build on the success that we've all built together, we will embrace this approach. We'll embrace this approach in our municipal departments, in our school departments, and if we do, we'll ensure that Newton continues to be one of the best places to live in our country. I want to tell you, this being my last budget address again, how much it's been such a gift to work for the residents of this city. It's been a gift to work with all of you, even through the ups and downs and all the twists and turns. It's been a gift. Being a kid growing up here in Newton, I still live in the house where I grew up. This is a special 8 years that I've been able to have with all of you. We got more to go. I'm not leaving yet until the end of the year, but I want to thank you for your partnership and working with me. God bless our city, our Commonwealth, and the United States of America. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It's been great the last 8 years listening to all your addresses, looking at the back of your head. Fantastic. Really appreciate it. But I'd like to thank you for all your hard work. I look forward to deliberating over the next 30 days. We'll have it done within 45 days to get your budget passed. So thank you very much for all your hard work. How about a nice round of applause for the mayor and everything he's done in the last 8 years? I'll ask our escort committee to come back together if they could, and they will escort the mayor back to his office, and then we will wrap up with our work. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Hold on, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, hold on. Wait for your Thank you all. I don't believe we have no other business before the council, so I don't have to wait for the escort committee to come back. So at this time, I will recognize Councilor Albright. There is a motion to adjourn. All those in favor of adjournment will say aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. We are adjourned at 8:55 p.m.